We have passed from death to life, and we know that whosoever hateth his brethren is a murderer. And that's clear enough now that we murder the Christ when we hate our brethren. That is, we don't murder the Christ, but we have murdered his value as the Christ. We have not seen that he is the Christ. That's murdering the Christ. And we know that no murderer has eternal life. That's a loaded statement there, because if you deny Christ anywhere, there goes your eternal life. Just by denying the Christ. I don't like him. I've neglected to honor the Christ, to realize the Christ. And that place where I have cut the Christ out of his life, I've cut it out of mine. But there goes eternal life. Eternal life is based upon knowing the existence of Christ as the only being. The only being is Christ. There's no you, there's no me, there's no him. He is the Christ, you are the Christ, I am the Christ. But if one of us isn't in our consciousness, that's where we lose out, and that's where we lose that cherished thing called eternal life. And these are not opinions. This is the book of life. So it's so important that we take the facts and we sit down and we come and say to ourselves, now look, you submit to this, otherwise I'm not going to tolerate a self that won't live eternally. So let's get rid of this person in me that insists on saying and feeling these things, because I am living for eternal life, and there are no two ways about it. And the things that I must do to attain eternal life are told to me. And how can I help but want to do them and restrain every impulse in me that wants not to do them? You have as much right to eternal life as the next fellow. And one of you is going to have it and one won't. But the reasons will be very simple. He'll give in to a human impulse to express himself, and you'll be sitting there quiet as a lamb, and knowing the fact that nothing can be wrong in my Father's universe, because all that is in my Father's universe is my Father. You'll sit on that truth for so long, the other fellow will storm away. Some will call him a great man, one of the most intelligent men in the universe, and you don't care. You know that your eternal life is protected if you stand in the truth of God's truth. Let him go on and be brilliant. You can't help it. It's so beautiful to know the simple truth, and it's here given to us in a very simple form, that if we want the truth, we can follow the truth. But holding on to it in every circumstance, that isn't simple. It's not simple. And you may fall once or twice. Nothing that says you can't start all over again. I've been wrong. I know I'm wrong. This is what I should have thought, and I do think. Let's go on. Eventually you're going to get to a point where you're going to weigh things out a little bit before you start reacting. You're going to like yourself a whole lot, too. Because once you start knowing truth, there's something about it that shines in you. I'd be willing to wager that 9/10 of the people who study this work are working for truth so much, and that another civilization will spring up. We're going to finish this because you'll see some things that meet the eye in a different way. We have passed from death to life. I think that's true of us here. After all, he was talking to a group somewhere. We're talking to this group. People are the same all over the universe. And there are those in people who are clinging to the truth and are going to make it. There are those who are here are going to make it. And I'll say that we have passed from death to life. And you know if this is true or not. You measure it by yourself. Is it true in you? Have you passed from death to life? Do you see how you're going to do it? That's important. And if you know how you're going to do it, you're practically there already, because anyone who knows how to pass from death to life, the secrets that have been unfolding slowly, is going to do it. It'd be silly not to. You're going to hold back every human impulse because you're not a human. Stand in the Christ. You're talking to the Christ all the time. Something in you tells you that you've been faithful to your Christhood or not. Yes, I probably am wrong in stating that I feel we have, many of us, the ability to do it, because if we don't do it, we don't. But if we are determined and there are no obstacles in the way, and if nothing gets to stop us in the future, we'll find there are many devious ways in which we can outwit ourselves. And you'll find that you're making them right now. But you'll find your heart will see you through. You want to live eternally because that's your proof that you are the Son of God. You'll do it if you want it bad enough. And I think we do. I want nothing as completely as to prove to myself that I am the Christ. And I think you do. And that's why I think we're help each other. So our ambition is just one thing. Silly to talk about it with people. Perhaps you want to be the Christ, or you are the Christ, and you want to stay the Christ. And I think if you are, you'll stay that way. And if you have the realization that you are, you'll stay that way. If you have the realization that you can be, if you keep trying, you'll keep trying. You know that the 5th, 6th, and 7th levels exist. They've always existed. They wouldn't exist if they're going to be depopulated. There's going to be people coming up who are capable of maintaining what we have tried to maintain. There's going to be a 5th world. And please don't ask me what it's like. I haven't been there. But we have the reports of what it's like in the scripture. We're told that Jesus himself said the little children were special. He didn't mean in this world. That's what confuses some people. He meant that we are moving into that world where we become as little children. That 15th verse, then, I want to underline, whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. And loses his chance for eternal life. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us. And we ought to lay down our life for the brethren. And the question is, how do you recognize the Spirit? He says, hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. There it is. You know it or you don't know it. You agree or you don't agree. You fall or you stand up, depending on what you do. If you don't know Jesus Christ came in the flesh, what have you got to study here? What can you study? The whole Bible is built around that truth. The whole Bible is built upon Jesus saying, follow me. He comes to earth. We see the wonders. The man says to you, follow me. Follow me into where I'm going. I am going up into the fifth and sixth and seventh level. Follow me. He doesn't say it to you because you can't follow him. And he doesn't say it to you thinking that you are going to just drop your whatever you're doing and go. But follow me is an instruction. It may take you 500 years to follow him. You have to build up your knowledge, your ability, your certainty, your steadfastness. You have to know this is the way, and I'm going to work at it until I attain it. Hereby know we the Spirit of God, : every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. Now you believe it or you don't. You believe it so much that that's what your life's about. As far as we know, this is the only way to attain a knowledge of your own spirit. That is verse 2. In the fourth chapter. And I'd take these and I'd work with them until I know them so well, unless you have already. When you know them, apply them, live them, they're as good as a passport to heaven. You say Jesus did not come in the flesh. I don't know how you could say that. When here he comes in the flesh and you see what he's done in the flesh and what he, then he disappears and goes into heaven. I'd say the person who said Jesus did not come in the flesh just didn't read it, that's all. And if he read it, he had a closed mind and he's turning away life. He can if he wishes to. This says that that spirit of Antichrist is the one who turns away. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Well, when we know that we have overcome and we are sitting where we are in the knowledge that this is true of us, this could be reread and reread and reread. That's verse 4. He that loveth not, what's the next words? Some of you know. He that loveth not loveth not God, because God is love. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loveth us, and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. The fact that God sent his Son into the earth, which is unreal, into unreality, and had his Son appear here, is the most marvelous teaching in the world. What a teaching. Beloved, if God so loved us to send his Son. We have also to love him and one another. They're loving your neighbor. That's where everybody fails, don't they? Well, if we know about it, we just have to gather up something in us that wants to say, I don't love you. Or I don't even want to say I love you. We have to come over that. The thing that comes over that is the Christ in us. Because if we don't come over that, then the Christ in us is inactive. You see, you prove to yourself, you let a little part of yourself lie dormant or dead by saying, I can't say I love him. And when you do say I do, it's the Christ in you that does. And you bring Christ to life. Do you see the understanding there? No man has seen God at any time. We love one another because God dwelleth in us. Now do you get a clue why you have to love the other fella? You're a murderer if you don't love him. Just like he said here, a murderer. A man is a murderer. But your reason is, if you don't love him, you don't love God in him. And that's different. You're thinking of loving Johnny Smith, loving Mary Jones. No, you're loving God in Johnny Jones, Johnny Smith, Mary Jones. God is in each of us, and your recognition of it is the love. Do you see what a difference it is? Every time you turn away from the individual, you're turning away from God in him. And that's a teaching that you can spend years on. When you find you can love him, because he is God invisible, and that's all that's there, then you're looking at what you look at and you're... consciousness is able to tune out what isn't there, and you're worshiping God in the unfriendly fellow, in the people you don't like. You're worshiping God in them because God is in them as well as in the ones you do like. That's a tough one because you've got to do it. You've got to practice it in order to do it. This ogre who comes up bellowing at you, why don't you do this? Why? Quietly, right then, you got to worship God in him and love God in him. And if you can overcome something in you that won't do it, to do it, you're showing your strength and your love of God. Because I love you, God, I will love God in him. And that's why we're loving our neighbors all the time. That's what it's all about. You see, the neighbor is not the one you're loving. You're loving God in the neighbor. The neighbor isn't there. I think if we get that, we're very close to home. To love God in our neighbor. Let the world hate that man. He's done terrible things. But you love God in him. Because that what is there, and him who the world hateth, is not even there. You're in an invisible universe, remember. And everything is interpreted back to the truth of your knowledge of that invisibility. You're finding God is omnipresent. God is in everyone you know. That's the omnipresence of God. and all the people you're associating with, telling jokes with, planning picnics, they're only good because God in them is your salvation. I don't know how you're going to get to do it, know it, but I know if your life depends on it, and it does, your divine life, your knowledge of it, depends on recognizing the divine life in everyone you meet. That's quite an assignment. It's quite an opportunity, too, because it opens to you areas where others have failed without the proper knowledge. That I'm worshiping, I love the divinity in that man. It has nothing to do with that man. I would start loving the invisible of each person I see instantly. So far, we have come very close to nailing down what we're after. The recognition that God is everywhere I stand, and that only God is everywhere I stand. And as I love God in individuals, and look past their form and see God, accept God, and love God, I'm fulfilling divine law, and I'm becoming God-aware. Spiritually, I'm true to my spirit, which is in everyone. I'm saying I'm not a murderer because I'm not killing his spirit by saying it isn't there. I'm not killing his spirit, but God in everyone is a spirit. And I'm acknowledging, in spite of what I see, I'm coming alive. There are three, then, that bear witness. Three on earth that bear witness of the Spirit, of God. There is a Spirit in the water and the blood. And these three agree in one. Otherwise, you see water, birth through water, birth through blood, and finally the Spirit. Whatever you see, bring it in your mind down to its essential ingredient, which is Spirit, the only ingredient in the universe. Everything else is a disguise, you might say. That is Spirit, that is Spirit, and that is Spirit. And that is the only way you go. You work with the Spirit. You don't judge anything by the obvious flesh. because there are no points for dealing with flesh. The only points you get is when I recognize that spirit is there. He that believeth on the Son of God, the witness is in himself. There's a Son of God in you that believes in the Son of God. If you don't awaken that Son of God in you to believe in the Son of God, you never will. You got to raise up beyond the tendency to stay on the level of mortal man. This then is the reckoning, that God has given us eternal life, and I know we accept that, and his eternal life is in his Son. I know we accept that, and his Son is who I am. His Son is who I am. That's how we started out, with the blanket assumption that I am the Son of God. Are you the Son? Is it yes or no? You say to yourself. If it's yes, you're on the right track, because you will act like the Son. You will live like the Son. If it's no, there's no place for you to go. There's just no place in this world where you can hide. If you're the Son of God, knowingly, you don't have to hide. I think we're coming to the end now. These things have I written unto you that believeth on the name of the Son of God, that ye may have, that ye may know that ye have eternal life. That ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. You've either accepted who the Son of God is, comes down to you, and you have a capacity to live as the Son of God. It's not just a word in a book. You spell it out in every action you do. We know that the Son of God is come. We're not talking about Jesus Christ. We're talking about the Son of God that each of us is. That's important, though. The Son of God is come. We are it. And hath given us an understanding that we may know him that is true, and we are in him that is true, even as his Son, Jesus Christ. Do you see there that this phrase is the 20th verse in the 6th chapter? They've narrowed it down to his Son is you. This is the Son, the true God, and eternal life. Well, you take that to heart, or you don't. If you take it to heart, it's just like a map. You do it. No matter what you do it. And you live that way. You've got to live that way. Those who can, they're with us, who know us, know what we want to do, will tell us if we err and fall off the track somewhere, and we'll be grateful. But that is what we've got to do. That is what we hope we are doing. And that's the only way to live in this world. So now we'll meditate on what it means to be the living Son of God, as we know that each of us is. How we prove it, how we manifest it, I do believe that it's worth our time to go over the first 6 chapters of this John, underlining in it the places that cover you, who you are. You find yourself all through the 6 chapters. Wherever the Son is mentioned, give it an underline. Find what you're to do, how to do it. At all cost, to leave whatever you're doing when it interferes with this and do it. From that will come an invisible strength. That invisible strength will translate into something else. One thing it will translate into is the working conviction that I am the living Son of God, and I am proving it. Have you noticed throughout this dissertation by John that somehow you feel part of it? You feel part of it without even trying. That's because he doesn't write just words. He writes living statements. And he makes them as simple and as deep as life itself. They have a rhythm. They draw you into it. You feel you know him. You feel you'd be delighted to know him. And he'd be delighted to know you. The reason he'd be delighted to know you is you'd probably be living the way he wanted you to, the way he was trying to teach you to. I know that it's easier to feel his presence because he was living the way we'd like to. And I'm sure it's the way we can live. I hope you have found that the secret place of the Most High has to be part of your daily work.